Osiris.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
I'm Bill Payne. I play with Little Feet. I'm about 20 miles from Yellowstone Park. And what I try and do with my music is share with others. I was just writing about Robbie Robertson and his passing, this idea of the confluence of influences and remembrance. Remembrance doesn't tie into what we're just talking about, but the what influences our art certainly does. So,
You know, the band is such a inspirational group of genre-bending songwriters and master musicians. And in a way, Little Feet is sort of an extension of that energy in my mind, right? And you guys have kept the spirit going for over 50 years at this point, you know, which is just impressive and inspiring to me as a musician who has a band that is inspired by you guys and Robbie Robertson and the band and tries to further that connection between folk music, soul, rock and roll, the blues, funk music. Yeah. That's what I love about music, is when you can merge two things that don't come together that often, right? You guys have acoustic ballads and you have these big New Orleans dance party songs, and it makes sense, and it always has.
That's exactly it. And it's I'm writing a book right now called Carnival Ghosts. It's my life, but it's my life that intersects with Little Feet. But 1966, I think, was when Big Pink came out. So it'd still be another 3 years before Little Feet became a band. But that's where things started to happen for me with that group, was with that album. Being in a golden age of music, and why I think Little Feet's been able to last for as long as it has. It's always been about the music for our band. In unison. Sweet harmony. Gotta hoist your flag and I'll beat your drum.
Well, howdy, everybody. You're once again tuned in to the show On the Road. I'm your audio cave diver, Z Lupitin, and I had this thought listening to Little Feet these last few weeks and then diving into this conversation with the amazing Bill Payne. Some people have soulmates, right? Maybe it's their wife, maybe it's their best friend, their sister, their brother, someone who just connects with them, who is a part of them deep down, something that connects to everything they believe in. What if that soulmate was a band? Now, if you know me, I've been making music with a band called Dust Bowl Revival for over 15 years now, and we try to merge funk and folk music together, harmonies, brass. It's a big, beautiful mess. And you know who does that the best, and who's been doing it for 50 years? Little Feet. I can't believe I'm just now diving into their work, but I've fallen head over heels, and I think you will too. Okay, here he is, Bill Payne and Little Feet. Well, the night that I got into town was a night that the rain it froze on the ground. Down the street I heard such a sorrowful tune. Coming from the place they call a Spanish Moon. You know, Little Feat is one of those groups that I was just talking to my wife about this, sort of like Super Tramp for me, right? These bands that you've heard these songs growing up, you know, your parents played them on vinyl, you heard them on classic rock radio, but you didn't necessarily know who it was, right? Little Feat never had the, maybe the name recognition of Led Zeppelin, Elton John, all these people that kind of came out of the 70s. And yet, so many people have been so inspired by you guys and have covered Little Feat through the years. I mean, just the catalog of covers on the song Willin', right? Which is, you know, one of your touchstone numbers. I mean, Linda Ronstadt, obviously, I think, put it on the map maybe, but like, I mean, the list is 20 deep of folks who've covered that, the greatest bands of all time, you know?
I've been warped by the rain, driven by the snow, I'm drunk and dirty, don't you know, and I'm still willing. And I was out on the road, late at night, I seen my pretty Alice in every headlight, Alice. Dallas, Alice.
And I've been from... How does that feel for you all these years later?
How's it feel?
Yeah.
It's humbling. I have to say, yeah. I have heroes that are within that list. Maybe most, if not all of them. It's just a really cool thing to be included in it.
And if you give me weed, white sand, wine, and you show me a sign, I'll be willing to be moving.
So Keith Richards described to me in 1974, we were in this basement in Amsterdam, and the Rolling Stones came to hear us play. They came to hear Little Feat. And I'm down there in the basement going, "Oh, Keith, oh, my." And he grabs me. pulls me in tight. He says, "Oh, mate, we're all part of the same cloth." Mm. And what he was doing was saying, "You're part of the club, man.
Yeah.
Your band is part of the club." And I realized when I was reading his book, A Life, he was talking about being in a very similar situation, but he was with Muddy Waters and Little Richard. Mm. And he thought, if those are the cats, I must be one of the cats too. So that was what he was sharing with me. And I like to share that with people like yourself who are in a band. We are a part of that club, man. And we never joined it, like Groucho Marx used to say, "I never joined a club that would accept me as a member."
Yeah.
But in fact, that's what we are. So it's a cool thing to be a part of that.
Well, I think it's always hard to not have some imposter syndrome if you're a creator, a writer, a singer, you know. And you're one of the foremost rock and roll keyboard players of the last 50 years, according to Elton John. But you have to, I'm sure, question yourself all the time, right? Throughout your career, like, do I belong in this club? Like, I mean, just looking at who's covering that Willing song, you got Linda Ronstadt, obviously, Greg Allman, The Byrds, Steve Earle, Tom Petty played it live on this live record. Recently, Mandy Moore played it. I mean, it's like these songs that sort of have a life of their own over half a century. You know, does it feel like these songs belong to you, or do they sort of belong to the universe at a certain point?
Well, they belong to the universe, but they belong to me as well. I didn't, when we redid it for Sailing Shoes, I come down from Santa Maria, California to Los Angeles armed with a knowledge of Conway Twitty and George Jones. What I brought to that song when we went in to re-record it for Sailing Shoes was that Floyd Kramer-esque piano. And we, for my money, we legitimized the song with Lowell singing in a more, a less affected way, just sing the way he would sing brilliantly on his own. And a really good arrangement on it. And that's what, that's the iconic version of that song, not the one on the very first album.
Well, for people who don't know, Little Feat sort of re-released or released these deluxe versions of Sailing Shoes and Dixie Chicken that have all sorts of really cool outtakes. They have live versions. They have all these treasures that fans of yours must be really excited to hear. You know, if you go to that first track on Sailing Shoes, the deluxe version, Let It Slip, I mean, it's like that song is such a jam. Like, you feel like, you know, you go to a dance club in the middle of Hollywood tonight, it'd make total sense. Young people, you know, dancing their ass off to it.
It's so easy to slip. It's so easy to fall. And let your memory drift and do nothing at all. All the love that you miss. All the people that you can't recall. Do they really exist at all?
How did it feel sort of rediscovering some of these songs that maybe you haven't heard in 40 years?
What I actually wrote something about it, and with permission, I'll read you a little bit. And what I wrote was this. I said, what is striking to me is the absolute lack of inhibition Richie and I had, like two unleashed tornadoes crisscrossing each other's paths, gathering momentum that is unceasing and somehow, most importantly, disarming. There's an exhilarating tumble and pull to Richie's playing, and that evades somehow self-indulgence. Much of what I'm playing is the same unrestrained, let me see where the hell this goes attitude. This is the beginning of the band, a band finding its voice, speaking in tongues, emptying out the toy chest, not in search for anything, but in a mad dash for everything before adult supervision steps in and screams, stop. We were just on a tear. But the album itself, the album Sailing Shoe itself, is a very restrained album, right? The songs don't have any jams to speak of. The playing is tidy, and it works. I love the album. But what was surrounding that record was that energy I just described of being paid by a record company to go on and try things. And we did a little bit of that on the first album, but we were distracted on that first album with A, the fact that it was the first one, and B, that Russ Titelman, who I love, he's a great guy. He and Lowell had they were dear friends, and then they had a confrontation over the making of that album. So that was a distraction. So this one, we kind of got past that and were just able to play. And that's the beauty of being in a band, as you well know. I mean, you might have songs you're going to rehearse for your gig coming up, but there's times when you just sit there, Z, and you go, hey, let's try this groove, or not even say anything. You just jump into it and see where it'll take you. And that's the fun of being in a band. I mean, you can do it with other musicians, of course, but you're going to have that conversation with your band more often than not. So that's cool.
Are you guys playing a song like Let It Slip live?
Easy to Slip, yeah.
Yeah, Easy to Slip, sorry, yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, we are. We've been playing that. We'll certainly be playing it this fall when we do both albums. What we might do, and this is, I have talked to the band about this, I might suggest on that tune that we have a little more of an extended area where we take it off a little bit, or the jam a little bit on it.
Right.
We haven't done that before. I could see that happening quite easily. It's such a cool groove. Scott Sherrard and Tony Leone, I should mention them. They are in our band. Scott was the musical director for Greg Allman, who you mentioned earlier. I was out with the Doobie Brothers on a tour, and I toured with those guys for 7 years up until about a year and a half ago. And so I met Scott on that tour, and then he wound up playing with us by a suggestion from our manager at the time. We were doing our 50th anniversary for the Little Feet, and Paul was dying, and he was on the way out. And so we did the tour in the fall, and we had Larry Campbell, Teresa Williams join us. But the last two shows were with Scott Sherrard. And on the very first of those two shows, Paul passed away.
Mm.
So that was quite an event for Scott to step into that first and foremost. But then we went to Jamaica in January, just a month and a half before the pandemic hit. And we decided, yeah, let's continue this experiment called Little Feet with Scott Sherrard. And shortly to be followed by Tony Leone on the drums. Tony used to fill in for Levon Helm, played with Chris Robinson. So, yeah, there's a lot of very nice ties musically. These guys are more scholars of our music than we are.
You guys came out of, this sort of experimental world. You know, I know Lowell George, was in the Mothers of Invention with Zappa. You were possibly going to be in that band also. I think you were auditioning to be in. And then you guys kind of got together. It was around 1969.
Yeah, I was going to meet Frank. I called up his label of which there were two, Bizarre and Straight. I called Bizarre with the idea of meeting Frank Zappa and possibly auditioning. But by the time Frank got back from Europe, which is about a month later, I pretty much made the decision to just stick with Lowell. But I still went up to his house with Lowell and talked to him. And I just felt that musically, his music was way over my head. I don't think I would have been able to really play it. So I was happy to be with Lowell. But we, in the early going with Little Feet in 1969, we had some instrumental tunes. Dancing the Nubile, Virgin Slaves, 10,000 Whips, etc. that we played for Ahmet Erdogan, who was with Atlantic Records, ATCO. And had I known who Ahmet was, I would have been too embarrassed to play him the songs. But he simply looked at us and goes, boys, it's too diverse. And we went back to the drawing board, and that's where, well, Willen was probably already there, I got to say. But Truck Stop Girl, Brides of Jesus, Strawberry Flats, all those songs started to fall into place.
Yeah, because there was bands that didn't fit in any sort of pop radio-friendly direction, right? And yet they had an audience like the Mothers of Invention. But I think what made you guys maybe more accessible is that you could tap into the sort of jazz, blues, funk world, but also in the country, what we would now call Americana, folk singer-songwriter world, right? That you could speak directly with songs that were very pared down. I mean, even Roll 'Em Easy, which is a favorite of mine, right? This very quiet, slow burn of a song, and you have this gospel kind of backing choir behind you guys. It's just beautiful. And you would never think that that band would also have these big dance-ready songs in their back pocket, right? It's like you can contain multitudes, which is my favorite type of band. I like playing, personally in like theater shows when people are seated to start and at the end they're going crazy and dancing and, in the aisles, right? Because you can give them both. They can really listen and they can really have a good time. Because if you're only doing one thing, it gets old, right?
Yeah, it can, for sure. And I've often said that, that to play in the band Little Feet is like playing in 10 different bands.
Yeah.
Because you described us. So it was somewhat frustrating in the early going that we were not a hit band like, say, the Doobie Brothers. but we had our own thing, and it was tough to define who we were for people out there, for the record label even. They stuck with us, but it was kind of like, who are these guys? I mean, are they a rock and roll band? Are they rhythm and blues? Are they New Orleans? Where do they fall? We just took music and I keep using the word influences, but we took those influences and crafted them from genres, sometimes blending genres of music together to create and write music, which is the foundation of any great band, any great singers, anybody that wants to do anything. You have to have a platform to perform from. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to write your own stuff. I mean, Linda Ronstadt, I don't think wrote any music, but she was a song stylist and made a great career out of that.
Well, I think you guys were a wellspring of great songs in various genres for people to select. Like, it's like a delicious buffet, you know? And I think Dixie Chicken for me is one of those records that it keeps coming around every few years into my psyche, you know, forget about it. And then all of a sudden there's a song, you know, I have a radio show here in LA on 88.5. And so every week I'm just collecting songs that hit me in a certain way. And I keep getting these songs into my playlists or into my radio stations that just hit me. And I'm like, God, who is that? Oh, it's Dixie Chicken, Little Feet again, you know, because I didn't grow up with you guys, you know, and I should have a conversation with my dad about this. I was like, why didn't you play this at home more often? You know, even though I grew up with all the people who were inspired by you or who were around you. Right. And so now 2023 is when I'm actually fully diving into Little Feet, you know, which is really, you know, kind of cool in a way, because that's the beauty of music history. It's always there, you know, you can always reach back and find it. And in that silver moonlight, she sang the song so well.
That's true. And what Lowell and I used to call it were the connection between things. So if you like Eric Clapton, you might want to see who he liked. You know? And that's the way your vocabulary, so to speak, keeps growing. So my applause to you for the way you're not only dealing with us, but just the way you're what shaped your life. You're doing it in a very good way, I got to say.
Well, I think the cool thing about the internet, where, you know, it's a dangerous, dark place, but it's also a place of infinite discovery. You guys re-releasing these newer versions of Sailing Shoes and Dixie Chicken, I hope that a whole new generation of folks can dive in and be like, wait a second, this is really cool. Song that I was really into yesterday, one that you wrote, "Oh Atlanta," which is there's a really cool version off that "Waiting for Columbus" live record, which is, you know, considered one of the great live records of the last 50 years. There's just a lot of heart in these songs, you know, a lot of you know, poetry, you know, and you write beautifully, you know, about a lot of stuff. But can you tell me a little bit about that song?
Well, the first tour we did was in 1970, technically. We were at the Reflections Club in Cincinnati, Ohio. I think it held about 1,000 people there, and we did two nights, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, 24th and 25th. And so they're all singing Ohio football songs because they're going to go to the Rose Bowl to play Stanford. When we arrived at that airport, the airport was not in Cincinnati. It was in Kentucky. And right. I was watching these people as we were leaving the airport. There was a line of cars that were lined up just watching planes take off. And I go, is this all there is to do around here?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of strange, being a kid from California who was a surfer. And I didn't know how to dress for the winter at all. So that's where Atlanta was born. It was born in that first tour of Little Feet. So it starts off, there's a place down Ohio, got a place in Kentucky right down near Ohio where you can watch those planes at night. People lined up to watch each flight. That's where that came from.
And you were born in Texas, right? But then you moved to California when you were about two or three?
Yeah, I was born in Waco, yeah.
You start playing the piano what age?
I'd say around five. I started taking lessons. A little before that, maybe 4 years old, my mother played me a song called Vaya Con Dios. And there was music that went with it that she played for me, and it was on the cover was two luminaries were on the cover, Mary Ford and Les Paul were on that cover. And I still have the music in my piano bench. And that's kind of the way I got started. I had a great teacher named Ruth Newman who told my mother when I was taking lessons, she says, I'll make sure Bill knows how to read music, but let's not take the magic out of it for him. Which is, in other words, let him play by ear, let him explore the instrument, let him take it where he wants. Let's make sure that happens, and I'll make sure he knows about Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, Chopin.
Right, these songs that you guys created, we're still listening to them 50 years later. Right, that matters. Yeah. Like that's a really cool thing.
You said it earlier, though, which is a song like Old Lantern, but a lot of them, they have heart, right? And so if you're writing from the heart, then there's somebody asked me, how do you keep Dixie Chicken fresh? You know, how do you keep it from, played it 100,000 times? How do you give life to it each time you play it? I said, what do you do when you sing Happy Birthday to somebody?
Their eyes light up.
Sing it from the heart. Start there, and the rest will take care of itself. That's the job we have, you and I both have as artists, just to find our voice, and in finding our voice, share it with people, and if it's meaningful, other people will go, thank you, Z, you really came into my life at a point when I really needed something to lift me out of the funk I was in, or I was feeling really cool and good about life, and you just extended that immeasurably by what you provided. That's an obligation to the art form and to our talents that we have, and to accept the fact that we do have talent that make us better than anybody.
Right.
But acknowledge that you have a voice and you're given that voice to do something with it, and take it the way Brahms took it when he heard the footsteps of giants, which were Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, and Haydn. He took them seriously, and he thought, well, what do I have to do with coming into this, which is something you alluded to earlier. Why am I
in this club?
Enough of myself to put myself in the same context as if you're speaking about musicians, you might want to mention Robbie Robertson or Levon Helm.
Right.
Fats Domino, Ray Charles, Little Richard, on and on. Yeah, do I deserve to be in that crowd? Well, maybe in a way you do. I mean, I think Little Feet does, and because of what we've done. I don't say we sound like those cats or that they sound like us.
Right.
But it's I feel the same way about Beethoven and Bach and Scarlatti and music that's lasted. I don't that stuff lasts because there's something there that attracts mm-hmm. us to that paradigm they've set up. I don't know what will happen with most of this music from this age, but so far, as you said, 50 years is a pretty good start.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
In 1966, I found my love.
There he goes. Big thanks to Bill Payne of Little Feat for getting on the line with me. Man, it is a true honor to talk to one of the greatest keyboard players ever in the rock and roll, blues, and soul world. Listen to these records, guys. I'm just telling you, Little Feat's going to be your new favorite band. I guarantee it. Now, of course, the OGs who've been listening to this for the last 4 or 5 decades are going to call me an idiot. But, you know, I think a lot of young folks... and by young, I mean maybe under 40, are just discovering this music now with the reissues of Sailing Shoes and Dixie Chicken 50th anniversary reissues that have cool demos, all sorts of deluxe tracks. Check it out, littlefeat.net. They're going to be playing the hits on this tour right now in New Jersey, I see, Chicago, L.A., Florida, New Orleans, Austin. Go see them. I wish I could. We're going to be on tour with Dust Bowl Revival when they're here in L.A. We're actually opening up for the Beach Boys. Yes, that is not me being cheeky. Whatever is left of the Beach Boys, we will be opening for them at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday in Florida on the 19th of October. And then we're going to be going on a little run with Dwayne Betts, the son of Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers, indeed. In Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and New York, October 20th through 22nd. Please come and see us, dustbowlrevival.com. And we'll be coming back with part 2 of my talk with Bill from Little Feat next week. As always, the show on the road is written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Z Lupitin. We are a part of the Osiris Network. We'll see you on the trail very soon.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11. Oh.